This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and the focus of most people in this country and certainly the Obama administration is on the humanitarian crisis in Haiti. Now 2 days following a magnitude 7.0 quake whose epicenter was right there in the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince. The Red Cross right now, already running low on supplies, says it estimates between 45,000 and 50,000 dead when all is counted. But still, about 3 million people at least are in need of emergency assistance, food, water, medicine, medical care of all kinds, desperately needed, planes crowding the runway and the tarmac at the airport in Port-au-Prince, and some materials are now being flown into the neighboring Dominican Republic and being ferried across the border. President Obama this morning gave an update on the relief effort from the American perspective.
Search and rescue teams are actively working to save lives. Our military has secured the airport and prepared it to receive the heavy equipment and resources that are on the way and to receive them around the clock, 24 hours a day. An airlift has been set up to deliver high priority items like water and medicine. And we're coordinating closely with the Haitian government, the United Nations, and other countries who are also on the ground.
The president says the U.S. military will also play a key role in delivering relief.
The United States Armed Forces are also on their way to support this effort. Several Coast Guard cutters are already there, providing everything from basic services like water to vital technical support for this massive logistical operation. Elements of the Army's 82nd Airborne Division will arrive today. We're also deploying a Marine Expeditionary Unit, the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson, and the Navy's hospital ship, the Comfort.
The president says he realizes the situation in Haiti is dire and that millions of people need help, and it's only possible to get so much aid there in a very short period of time. He says the people there will think that the aid is slow in coming, but he promises this is a massive effort.
None of this will seem quick enough if you have a loved one who's trapped, if you're sleeping on the streets, if you can't feed your children. But it's important that everybody in Haiti understand at this very moment, one of the largest relief efforts in our recent history is moving towards Haiti.
The president also making a huge pitch for Americans to donate to the relief effort towards the folks in Haiti. The president also commissioning former Presidents Clinton and George W. Bush to launch a massive fundraising effort similar to the ones that President Bush himself ordered following the Southeast Asian tsunami as well as Hurricane Katrina. The president, while monitoring the situation in Haiti, of course, is also staying very much involved in a number of domestic priorities. First of all, on the health care front, some members of the House and Senate are suggesting that a possible compromise deal could be sent for scoring to the Congressional Budget Office by the end of the week. The main sticking points appear to remain over whether or not there's a public option, who gets taxed and how much if they have the so-called Cadillac-style health plan with all the benefits. And then, of course, there's the issue of abortion language, meaning whether or not taxpayers through any means will be forced to fund elective abortions. Also today, the president taking on Wall Street once again by announcing what's being known as the TARP tax. He calls it a fee for banks to make sure that taxpayers get back the money they paid through the Troubled Asset Relief Program back in the fall of 2008. The president says the majority of that money has already been recovered. About $117 billion still needs to come in, and the president says he's committed to getting back every dime.
As far as I'm concerned, however, that's not good enough. My commitment is to the taxpayer. My commitment is to recover every single dime the American people are owed. And my determination to achieve this goal is only heightened when I see reports of massive profits and obscene bonuses at some of the very firms who owe their continued existence to the American people.
The president says that he wants to avoid a repeat of the situation where huge bonuses and reckless agendas were being pursued on Wall Street. He says we can't go back to 2008.
Through this fee and broader reforms that we seek, our goal is not to punish Wall Street firms, but rather to prevent the abuse and excess that nearly caused the collapse of many of these firms in the financial system itself.
But the president is clearly unhappy with the attitude of many executives and firms on Wall Street, saying that they are being dragged kicking and screaming into regulatory reform in addition to being opposed to this plan for these fees. The president says those on Wall Street, as well as most Republicans, just want to go back to business as usual.
We cannot go back to business as usual. And when we see reports of firms once again engaging in risky bets to reap quick rewards, when we see a return to compensation practices that seem not to reflect what the country's been through, all that looks like business as usual to me. The financial industry has even launched a massive lobbying campaign, locking arms with the opposition party to stand in the way of reforms to prevent another crisis. That, too, unfortunately, is business as usual.
But earlier on Thursday, I spoke with New Jersey Republican Congressman Scott Garrett, who disagreed with all of that and more, including the president's plan to impose these fees on Wall Street financial institutions. Congressman Garrett says, first of all, Republicans are standing in the way of nothing since they can't stop anything on Capitol Hill. He says if the president really wanted regulatory reform, or if congressional Democrats did, they could have easily done it by now. As for the so-called TARP tax, Congressman Garrett says there's nothing the president doesn't want to tax.
It is just the rule of thumb for this administration that when they see a problem, that they solve it by raising taxes. This one is supposedly on the banks. Other ones will be on the middle class. So you can just run down the line with a litany of different tax proposals that they have come up with, and this just adds one more to it.
But shouldn't the banks be forced to pay back what the taxpayers loaned them? Absolutely, says Garrett, but he says the problem is most of the banks that will be hit with these fees have already paid back their money with interest.
First and foremost is that the banks that we're talking about here, by and large, are banks that did receive taxpayer dollars, but then, which I was, as you know, and we've talked in the past, I did not support that initiative in the first place. I voted against TARP. But if you did it, these are banks that have repaid with interest the money that they got from the taxpayers.
To hear my entire interview with Congressman Garrett, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While you're there, you can also hear my conversation with Georgia Congressman Jack Kingston, in which he explains how the Obama administration counts jobs funded, that's the new term, instead of saved or created, by the stimulus package. 2 million, they say. You'll hear him explain exactly how they count those jobs at WorldNet Daily or dateline.radioamerica.org. Also, my weekly visit with John Gizzi of Human Events as we tackle the crisis in Haiti, as well as the Massachusetts Senate race, the controversy surrounding Harry Reid, and the latest on health care reform. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.